Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to get notified.
KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. To find out more about this talk show or other talk shows broadcasting on KUCI, log on to our website at kuci.org or check out the latest program guide.
All right, I love it how the Board of Regents doesn't support what we're doing, but in a general sense, we love you. Actually, in more of a general sense, very specifically, we love the Board of the Regents, we love UCI, we love KUCI, and this is Get Notified. Good morning to everyone out there. If you're on the 405, I do not envy you. I was there earlier this morning, but I'm okay. I've had my Java Zen, I'm fired up, and I'm ready to talk about some exciting topics today when it comes to social media. Now, the show is called Get Notified because that's the little bing or the little boop or the little noise that comes out of your phone when something hits one of your social medias. And today, we are going to be talking about social media when it comes to colors, brands, and even how you communicate offline, how that can translate to online. If you are good at social media and you want to get better, this is your show. If you hate social media, it's cool. We're going to help you like it a little bit more. And if you are totally confused by social media, then guess what? We are here to help you out. Now, our special guest today is a fellow Ginger, which I'm very excited about because we are one of the most underrepresented persons, peoples, genres, cultures, everything out there. And, you know, I was told at an early age that freckles were angel kisses, and I'm pretty sure that's true, but I also think they're signs of intelligence. So we have very smart people who are Gingers on the show. And her card, I'm looking at it, it's a six-piece card that she displayed to me in a fan, and it says, I am Liz Goodgold, speaker, coach, and brand master, brand out, stand out, and cash in. She's doing the whole namaste right now, and she's on Twitter, she's on Pinterest, YouTube, and LinkedIn. That's at Liz Goodgold. Good as gold without the as. How are you doing this morning, Liz?
I'm great. Happy to be here.
You know what? I don't think Gingers are ever not great, so that's totally cool. We met recently at the OC Tech Happy Hour, and you came up, and anytime I see somebody with freckles, I'm more than willing to talk. And it sounds like you're a newbie to town. Is that correct?
It is. I think I've been here 3 weeks, and the good news is I actually got here, of course, with a little bit of your help.
Here, as in?
The studio, because otherwise, getting around Orange County or anywhere, I have that disease called, you know, geographically challenged disease.
I thought that was a male disease, but I guess it's also a Ginger disease now.
It completely is my disease.
Yeah, I sent her some directions to KUCI, and then I said, or I can just pick you up at Starbucks. And she went, OMG, pick me up, please. So I made her buy me one of my favorite drinks at Starbucks, which is a green iced tea, hold the squirts of fructose syrup, put a Splenda in it, order it as a venti in a Trenta cup with extra ice. And she did a good job. I think she cut and pasted the order, but I think it worked out.
Hey, you're here, tea's there, and we're all good.
And we got Angie. Angie, say hello to all of your fans out there. You got to come over here.
Hello, good morning.
See, I think, Angie, I think you're getting some fans out there because she is the person who is really the brains of the operation here. And I'm trying to convince her to help be a regular guest slash co-host slash voice of reason and representative of those people who are addicted to social media. Liz, are you addicted to social media?
I don't think I'm addicted. I think I have a fair obsession with it, which is a pretty good idea for me.
That's like three shades lighter.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have an addiction, but you've been putting sunscreen on. Therefore, you're not as affected by the addiction. Is that correct?
True, because if you take it back, I've been wearing Sunblock 54 since I finally figured out that it gives you cancer.
Wait, Sunblock 54 gives you cancer?
No, because of the alternative was I used to think that I could be a brunette and I would put sun in my hair and I would put baby oil on my skin and I would go out with a reflector shield and I would decide and I would say, I am going to be a Bain de Soleil tan woman. And then I discovered that, oops, that doesn't work very well. So I finally got comfortable being this very fair hair redhead, and I'm good with it.
Good. Ginger pride. Hashtag Ginger MC. Hashtag Ginger Liz Good Gold. Well, you've been here in town for a couple of weeks, but you are no stranger when it comes to marketing, branding, consumer, traditional consumer marketing, all that kind of stuff. Is that correct?
It is. So I really cut my teeth in branding when I was at Quaker Oats. So the joy of working at Quaker Oats at that point is you got to do absolutely everything. So I would watch and invite consumers into our test kitchens and see how they made Quaker oatmeal cookies. I got to see how they measured, how they made meatloaf with Quaker oatmeal. And you really learn. And this is the greatest part of marketing. Sometimes the greatest marketing isn't you sitting in an ivory tower, but watching consumers and seeing what they actually do.
Now, Angie, I know that you eat Top Ramen a lot. Have you ever eaten oatmeal?
I love oatmeal.
Do you? Do you know how to cook oatmeal?
Sometimes. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's bad.
Oh, no, not if it's good or bad. Do you know how to cook? Oh, I get it. Do you know how to cook it so it's either good or bad based on how you cook it? And when it's stuck to the bowl, it's kind of crazy. But she cooks a mean Top Ramen for all of you out there. Now, Liz, Top Ramen, yes or no?
No, never, never, ever.
What about when it's not even cooked and it's just hard and crusty and you sprinkle the salt over it and then you crack and it becomes like a snack, a cracker snack?
I've never done that.
You haven't?
I have never.
How did you, and Angie, what about you? Do you ever eat raw Top Ramen where you sprinkle the stuff on top?
No, but I'm not against it. I would try it.
Okay, for all of you out there today, if you thought you were going to learn about social media, trust me, you will, but you're also learning about food and one of the staples of college diets, which is Top Ramen.
Top Ramen.
And if you are that broke as a student and you don't have a stove or a flame or even a pan or even water, take it right out of the package and then pour the salt ingredients, the magic salt, all over it. And then you can snap it into quarter chunks or eighth chunks. The other tactic, which is, you know, based if you have a martial arts training like me, you put the package down and then you give it a judo chop, maybe two, and it breaks it up ahead of time. And that helps all the little granules of the sand get into it. Yeah.
Wow. This is what I didn't know anything about this.
Yeah. I always like to say everyone can learn from everyone. And I'm here to learn from you. And you obviously learned a little bit about Top Ramen today, and I feel like my job is somewhat done. I think that wraps it up. I think we're out of time. This is the quickest show ever, and we should go follow and send some love out there to the nation of students who are surviving on Top Ramen because it's cheap. It's cheap, but it's good. So here on your business card talks about you being a speaker, a coach, and a brand master. I want to know what a brand master is. Is it an actual degree? Do you have a black belt? Is this sort of designation that is self-designated? Talk to me about your masterness, master.
Sure. It's sort of like the world famous San Diego Zoo. You can be whatever you want to be. And in fact, if you take it back, that's kind of what social media is, right? No one knows you're a dog when you're online.
And sometimes people have their dogs that have, we had a guest, Peaches, who's actually a cat who has her own Instagram that she shares with another cat, and she was actually on the show. So you can be a cat and still be on social media.
And they probably have more followers than you and I do, so that goes to show you.
Yeah, they actually had more followers than one of the guests on the show, and more than Angie. But that's cool. That's cool. So just like the San Diego Zoo, social media, you can be whatever you want to be.
You can be what you want to be, but I think it is important in social media to really put yourself in a lane and stay there. So the reason I became brand master is because I got tired of being branding guru.
Okay.
You could hear everybody, they're the speaking guru, or gosh forbid, the brand whisperer, or the dog whisperer, or the cat whisperer. And for someone who's allergic to all animals, I just thought, I'm not whispering anything except, oy vey, I'm allergic to all of these things.
Gotcha.
So I just didn't want to do that. So I thought, well, I need a new title. So if you're stuck when it comes to naming, right, welcome to branding.
Yeah.
You don't like what's out there? Create your own word. So I became brand master.
I like it. And I think us gingers have more in common because I put myself out there as the communication master.
Exactly. Ooh, I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that we had that yin-yang going on.
Yeah, that's part of my bio. You check me out on LinkedIn. First thing, it's kind of aggressive, but it says I'm a communication master. And my goal is to help people become more efficient at communication and learn them how to spoke good.
That took a lot of practice for you to do that. That was great.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, speaking of your wisdom out there in the world, you're also an author.
I am.
How many books have you written?
I've written three, and you alluded to one of them. You said my wisdom. I call it my words of wisdom.
Oh.
So that's my little wordplay.
You're so hashtag punny. See what happens when you get two gingers on the radio? This is out of control. Angie is staying away from the microphone because all she's doing is laughing, but I bet you're going to get a freckle or two by the end of this scene.
And then you'll be kissed by an angel, just like us.
And they're signs of intelligence, too. For all of you kids out there getting kicked and picked on and being called freckle juice, just know the freckles are wisdom. And as you get more, you get wiser, and people just don't appreciate it. But they love redheads when you get older. So just fight through it. Fight back. Take karate. Don't take any crap from bullies. And be strong, my fellow gingers. Be strong.
Love it.
Love it. Okay, so you're the brand master. And let's go back to this. We'll get to the books in a minute, because I like this idea of staying in a lane when you're on social media. So if we were to give advice to people who are out there in the world listening to the show, there's three components. One, they either love it and they want to get better. So I want to know on the freeway and on the lanes in their car, how does that work? We want to know about the people that are not even on the freeway. They're in their house and they don't even want to get in the social media car. And then thirdly, the people that are just confused. Like, they're maybe in the car, they've started it, but they're in the driveway and they don't know what to do yet. So those are the three main categories that we look after. So from a branding perspective, staying in a lane online, on one hand, we're saying you can be whatever you want to be, but that has its own inherent challenges. So how do you find yourself in the right lane? How do you know when to switch lanes? Using this lane analogy, I think would be fun to help explore some of the basic foundations for people to get better, get on the road, or get started.
Yeah, I try to, even in my coaching practice, I try to tell people to pick a lane. And so the first exercise I have them do is to figure out not only what they are, but what they're not. So in other words, a lot of people are like, oh my God, find your tribe, right? Find out who the people who love you, who want your advice. Well, I also like to flip it over and go the other direction and say, find the people who hate you, who don't want to work with you, who don't love you. What are the industries that don't resonate with you? So I joke, for example, that lawyers and I are probably not the bestest of friends. And the reason is they love gray and the subtleties and the nuances and the shades of differentiation. Well, sometimes you just need to give advice and it doesn't fall easily to where a lawyer goes, yeah, love it. So I always tell people, find out where you're not going to swim. Basically, figure out which swimming pool you're never going to dive into. Then when you know what you will do and won't do, be clear. So for example, I always, always talk about marketing, branding, advertising. So it doesn't matter, as much as I'm a huge raving maniac tennis fan, I don't get to blog about tennis, because it is out of my lane and it really needs to go to some of those great bloggers for sports. So the only time I get to comment on Serena Williams, for example, when it has to do with something like what she's wearing or color as a branding tool or how she is as a spokesperson and bringing it back to branding. And I think that's really the most important takeaway, is know what you do talk about and what you will never touch with a 10-foot pole.
And I just found a new title for your book. It's What You Talk About. And it has to do with food. I heard that, but I like that. What you talk about.
That's right.
Right?
That was an example of assimilation, right? When unfortunately you run your words together.
Or a Freudian slip.
Yeah, exactly.
What'd you have for lunch today?
Salad.
What are you having for dinner?
Tofu.
I thought you were going to say tacos.
No, it's Tofu Thursday.
Oh,
at our house, it's always Tofu Thursday.
So I like this. It's almost like you want to be a Tesla, because the Teslas can stay in a certain lane, but you're still in the car, you're still behind the wheel, you make decisions maybe what off-ramp or on-ramp you're going to go on to, but this idea of deciding who you are not going to cover, who you are not going to, what you're not going to do is going to help filter. Are you an Addams Family fan?
Yes, raving fan.
Raving fan.
Raving fan.
So one of my favorite episodes, there is a scene where I believe a white polar bear that was taxidermied was burnt down. And it was tragic. Right. It was from a cigar, and there's a lot of drama around it. And bottom line, there used to be a white polar bear, and now there's a pile of ashes. So they call the insurance adjuster to come over, and the insurance adjuster is just a little bit, you know, he's just kind of weirded out by them in general. And you can tell he's a normal person, so the audience sort of associates with him if you were in this house. And remind me, who's the main guy that always is smoking the cigars? You're a raving fan. I'm losing my memory right now.
That's okay. So
I'm going to Google it right now. This is what we do. Addams Family. The Addams Family. Gomez. No, Gomez was the kind of bald guy, right? So let's see. We have, if you do know the names, go ahead and call in right now and help us out. Okay, so there's Morticia. There's Gomez. There's Uncle Fester. Oh, yeah, you're right. Gomez.
Okay.
Gomez Addams. Now, Gomez Adams was being interviewed by the adjuster. And the adjuster said, okay, what happened here, sir? And Gomez said, well, it's very obvious. It was a white polar bear. And it's very expensive to replace. And the adjuster said, are you sure it wasn't a brown bear? And he went, nope. Are you sure it wasn't a black bear? Nope. Are you sure it wasn't a moose? Nope. And then it time lapses like the classic, like 6-7 hours later. And he goes, are you sure it wasn't a duck? Nope. Are you sure it wasn't a pheasant? And it just annoyingly went on. And the whole concept was that the insurance adjuster determined that it could only be a white polar bear because it was not anything else. And it's the type of Adams Family dry humor that I just love. And I use that example all the time because, you know, you have a set of ashes here and you can figure out what it was if you were there and you knew what it was before it was ashes. But more importantly, you can decide if it's not, whatever it's not, then it has to be.
Right, which is sort of what we were talking about, of taking the opposite way of figuring out what your brand is by figuring out what your brand isn't.
Right.
So I know who I will coach, who I won't coach, who people who love me, who are the people who hate me. And that's really important, what I will do and what I won't do, right? So if I go to
There's another book. What I will do and what I won't do. Now tell everybody, we're poking fun, but tell everybody this book name that you were talking about earlier that we're sort of playing a joke on right now.
Oh, sure. So my third book was called How to Speak Gooder.
Yeah. And so we've been now sort of secretly have an ear for some other creative titles. Angie's super excited about it. She's already bought it on Amazon, I'm sure. But yeah, this concept of figuring out what you should be doing by figuring out what you should not be doing.
Right. And then I really like, and this is a big concept, of course, in branding, is being consistent.
Oh, I love consistency. I tell people all the time, there are no singular ways that you can be successful in social media. However, the only way you will be successful is by being consistent.
Thank you. And so it means it in every sense of the word. It means you're consistent if you're blogging on how frequently you blog. I like people who create a template for their blog. And I don't mean just a design template, which is what most people think. Oh, well, great. It'll be blue, it'll be orange, or it'll be three squares. No. What I mean is, what is the amount of information that you give? Are you always short and sweet? Are you always 3 points? Do you always have the 5 sins? Do you have any sort of structure? And it's that structure that sets expectations, and therefore people come back and become raving fans because they know what to expect.
Yeah, I think the expectations are huge. I always talk about Gary Vaynerchuk. I love the guy because he's so honest and blunt and is aggressive and uses cuss words as exclamation points. But he talks about your following. Who cares who's following you and it, for the first 3 years? Because the concept is that if you stop doing what you're doing, you won't know the followers that are following you that aren't really following you. You know, they haven't publicly clicked the follow button, but they've got an eye on you. And mm-hmm. So the more consistent you are, I have guests all the time, and we talk about how frustrating it is to keep up with the volume of posts. And I just go back and say, it's not about the volume, it's about the consistency. I'd rather see one blog a week than one every day for 5 days and then just nothing forever.
Exactly. And that's what I really love, is when you think about the great brands or the red hot brands, they have created expectations so they know what to expect. And that's why the people go to France and order McDonald's, because they know what they're going to get. And you want to build your own personal brand online so that if I follow you on Twitter, I know what I'm going to get. So if I follow you over on Facebook and you're posting, I know what you're going to get. And that, to me, is the big secret when it comes to social media and branding.
Now, does that just as much play a part in personal branding as in corporate branding, or even if you're a department or you're a unit here at UCI?
Yes. I believe that you really need to employ this concept of R&D, right? Rip off and duplicate every great idea from a big company and make it work for you.
I like that. Say that again. R&D for all of you scientific and research-based UCI students. Listen, this is a different type of R&D, not research and development, but rip off
and duplicate.
I like that.
You can take absolutely anything you see as a marketing idea and make it work for yourself. So if, for example, you're a raving shoe fan, say yes.
Yes.
And let's say you think, oh my God, Payless. Payless is sort of brought to the masses, this whole concept of the acronym BOGO, right? Buy one, yeah. Get one free. So if you're looking at that and you're going, well, I don't understand. I don't really do consumer marketing. I don't have anything to sell that way. Particularly, my point is you probably can implement some sort of a buy one, get one free. So you could even be an estate planner and say, wow, how do I use Payless? Oh, buy one estate planning, get another one free. Bring your, do one for you, do one for your sister. And that to me is how you make R&D work for you.
I like that. So that works even for a personal, that works for, so if there's a study abroad center that's doing something that's just popping on another campus, you could do some research on that and then duplicate it and create that same structure. Are there any laws against this? Are there any laws against copying?
Well, this is not stealing intellectual property. It's not stealing their copy verbatim, which is illegal. What I'm saying is, here's a concept that worked for one industry. Take it from one industry to the next industry, and that's how you make it work.
So you're transitioning things that work across industries, and it could maybe even work culturally, too.
It does, and this is why I get a little bit crazy when someone calls me and says, hey, Liz, can you help me with this branding problem? Oh, well, I don't know. You really haven't done enough work in the car industry. And I'm thinking, what are you guys, inhaling your own fumes? How and why do you want to hire someone who's spent their entire career marketing cars? Don't you need a breath of fresh air and fresh eyes?
Yeah, and like your lessons learned from oatmeal.
And you have to bring it on over. I mean, I like to say that fish don't see water. Right? They're swimming in it. They have no idea. This is the same reason why virtually no one can write their own good bio, because they don't see themselves the way others perceive them.
That's interesting. Let's talk about bios for a second. If fish don't see water and you can't write your own bios, how do we not become fish and how do we write better bios? Do you have a
Yeah, I do. Formula? I have lots of formulas.
Okay.
Good. So the first thing you have to do is have somebody else interview you. And you have to be like the dentist who's extracting all that good information out of you. So we need to know, great, where were you born? Tell me about your favorite hobby.
Okay, wait a minute. Here, Angie, do you have a bio online?
I don't have any bios online.
No, that's a sin. That's a sin.
Okay,
we'll correct
that. So I'm gonna have you do an interview with Angie, and we're actually going to record this, and then Angie will help you with the bio. So let's pretend that this is pretend.
Okay, cool.
All right.
So you're from Anaheim, right?
Yes.
So for the whopping 19 and a half years, you have been here in Southern California.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, I did guess. Ooh, not bad. Okay. So what's your big fetish?
Fetish?
Mm-hmm. Like, are you a shoe hoarder? Do you love fashion?
I love social media.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your favorite social media?
Snapchat.
Ah.
You can't do a bio on Snapchat.
That's why you
right?
love it. And you're a psych major, right?
Yeah.
And why did you choose to be a psych major?
I love the subject. No other reason but that.
But what is the thing that you go, wow, I love learning about how people make decisions, how people think. What? Tell me more about that.
Yeah, exactly how people think, because we know so little about how the brain works because there's so many components to it. So I think that's interesting.
And what about your parents? What did they say about you when you were growing up?
Your parents?
Your
oh
parents.
My goodness.
They like, did they I say, was, Angie, you are the fill in the blank for me?
The biggest nerd.
Ah.
I was like the smart kid in the family. Yeah.
Oh. Very, very cool. And do you drive a car? You're in California. You better drive a car.
Yeah.
What do you drive?
Have to. A Toyota.
What do you want to drive?
A Maserati. My dreams. Or a Jeep if we're thinking realistically.
Okay, so we've kind of got a few things, and the key things that your listeners should be hearing is that you want to ask some atypical questions. I'm trying to get to motive. The other thing that you're always trying to do in a bio is connect your past to your present. So even if, for example, you were a chemical engineer for 2 years and now you're a lawyer, you have to explain how and why what you learned as a chemical engineer helps you today as a lawyer. You can't just forget it. So you told me, for example, that your family thought you were a nerd. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do is move you from being nerd girl to psych major, right?
Well, that kind of relates to each other, right?
It does, but we want to make sure we share it. So every bio has to have that connection. It has to have part of your brand DNA. In other words, I have to read it and understand a little bit about you.
Yeah.
I have to be able to make a connection, so we always want to put geography. Mm-hmm. So we want to put Anaheim. We want to put Southern California. If you spent 18 years in Kansas City, for example, we want to talk about that. Or people can look at mine and say, Chicago, the Cubs, right?
Yeah.
This is how we make connections with people. And people who think that, oh, we just talk about all business are wrong. Every Twitter profile, for example, has to have the one little tweak that makes you laugh. If you don't have that, we're not interested in following you.
Yeah, or human, right?
Yes.
And for me, it's that I love to sail and I love to draw, aside from all the other business nonsense. And I echo those comments for sure.
It makes sense. And if you find me on Twitter, it says chutzpah to have the courage to tell you your baby's ugly, which is what I believe about branding. At some point, you need a real honest answer, right? You need a Simon Cowell effect, someone to tell you the truth.
So are you that good where you can sort of read back or recall like a little fake bio here for Mrs. Angie, or do we need to do a little work on it?
We would do a little work, but I definitely would have fun, and I might off the top of my head talk about Angie and that she's a psych major who doesn't go psycho. She takes all of her collective wisdom and being her nerd girl background and brings it to the study of both science and radio programming.
I love
and
that.
Even though she tools around town, look for her little Toyota. See her next year while she'll be driving the Maserati. And that's how I would put your profile together.
And follow her on Snapchat. What is your Snapchat so everybody can follow you?
It's just my name, Angie Sarabia.
Oh, wait, you got it. This is the one thing, right?
Spell it out.
You have to spell it out because we don't hear well. And as we get older, not your issue, we hear worse. So really important because sounds are things and we don't know how to spell. So go ahead and tell us how to spell it.
So it's Angie. A-N-G-I-E.
We got that part, trust me.
And then Sarabia is S-A-R-A-B-I-A.
Okay, and I'm really going to... Are you really chewing gum? Really?
No.
Oh, okay, I thought I heard that. I was like, oh my God, that'd be
no,
crazy.
I am.
That's it. Whose show are you on? How can you get away with that?
Exactly.
But these are the things that we learn. Ladies and gentlemen, when you're on a radio show, chewing gum will get you in trouble. And there's no food in the studio, by the way. Kevin! Kevin, come in here. Okay, he didn't hear me, but you're in trouble. But don't spit your gum out and put it under the table. No, she wouldn't do that. How important is a bio to your social profile? You touched on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
What about for some of these other?
Sure, and it's interesting. So LinkedIn demands that you have a bio in the first person. And that's really a change because most of us...
Do they? Because mine's not in first person.
Well, the pretty standard rule is LinkedIn belongs in the first person.
Oh.
And that was a shift that happened just a few years ago.
Look at me.
Woo!
I just got notified.
No!
Wait a minute. I feel it. Yep. Angie, do you see that right there?
Oh,
yeah, that's another freckle. I got it. One more freckle.
You've been kissed.
I have been kissed by knowledge.
Yeah. So virtually every other bio you write will be in the third person.
Okay.
Meaning Angie does, Liz does, Ryan, blah, blah, blah. But LinkedIn has really embraced, like all social media, where it's written from the first person, so it has to be written as to I. And this, to me, is the delicate dance, because writing a bio in the first person means you have to balance bragging and branding, and that is what's so tough about writing that profile.
Maybe a B&B.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all about your own you got to have a B&B.
Yep.
You're bragging and branding.
Well, you want to be really careful. I call that delicate dance because you need to get some of your key elements
out there. The
DDBB.
Hashtag yeah. DDBB.
Yeah, you just don't want to be... If every sentence starts, I did this, then you get the syndrome I call, I.
Yeah, the me monster.
Yeah, that's not so good. And that's why it's really hard to write your own LinkedIn profile.
I gotcha. So... For somebody to go out there and do that, that's a great concept. But then they say, hey, Angie, I need you to interview me. And then all of a sudden, Angie's like, well, I don't know what to ask you. Are there certain questions online? Do you have a resource? Is there a standard set of questions? Or as the person being interviewed, do you spend the time to get the questions and then hand it? Or is it better to have more of an off-cuff situation? Because I love this concept, but I want to empower our listeners with
sure.
the practical steps to do that. Or maybe you can tell us the top five questions that need to be asked, and then you just, as a person, don't really try to answer them and come up with your answers on the spot.
Yeah, I think what you heard, and I can summarize them for you, is you always want to ask where they are,
okay,
their jobs in the past,
okay,
what they loved about the job, what they hated about the job,
okay,
why they want to do what they do now, what gets them up in the morning, what gets the juices flowing, why they can't wait to go do their brilliant thing. And then you're always looking for the cool quotient. And every person has one, even if they always will tell you they don't.
The cool quotient?
There has to be a cool quotient.
Okay.
So cool quotient.
Right. So on the show, we have a GTO. And the GTO is a grandma timeout. So grandma timeout means you have to explain something like you're talking to your grandma.
Exactly. So I call it.
What is yours?
I call it my mom. Same thing.
Okay. Well, you know, technically, your mom is also maybe a grandma.
My mom just passed away, but she was always my, she's what I called my mom reviewer.
Okay.
So every
your lifeline, your mom.
Yeah. Well, I would write every blog and then my mom would review it. And then she would call me up and she'd go, "You made a spelling error throughout, Liz, because it says you always talked about viral marketing, and I'm sure you meant vital marketing, so I changed it everywhere in your document for you."
And that's what's sweet about moms and grandmas. So for here, in honor of your mom, it'll be an MTO.
Yes.
So describe the quotient, the cool quotient.
The cool quotient.
MTO.
Yes, cool quotient is something in your background that makes people go, head whip effect, whoa, cool. Yeah, everybody has one. You have to dig a little deeper. So I've had clients who've been to every continent. I had a client who, just did a masterful job of increasing sales at 11 years at CarMax. And he was so funny. And he says, "Really? I was at CarMax. I didn't even have any training to sales training for their people. That's funny." Even my mom's bio, which I did, she used to be a synchronized swimmer.
Oh, that's rad.
Okay, and this goes back to 1951. She was trying out for the Olympics as a synchronized swimmer. Funny.
Wow. Yeah, funny.
But the first thing anyone ever asked her, right? My cool quotient was, I went through all the interview process at ABC TV to be the judge for Simon Cowell on American Inventor.
Cool.
Okay, and here I am talking, and he's like, "Liz, just love the legs." I'm like, anything else I'm doing good here? But I got killer legs. Thank you, Simon Cowell, okay?
No comments on the red hair or freckles or anything like that?
No, but it was funny. Well, when I showed up at ABC Studios for all of it, what was so funny is all the producers kept looking at me like, "That's so cool. You didn't wear black." I'm like, "Oh, that's right, LA Syndrome." So I wore there for the first interview. Of course, I had lime green on. Then I came back the second time with a red suit. Then I came back the third time with a purple suit. Because the whole city wears black. And I realized being a redhead and wearing another color worked pretty well for me on camera.
Yeah.
And that's what I stuck to.
Well, what a great transition from the interviews and the bios to colors.
People make a decision about color within the first 3 seconds. So if you're walking down the hall, I am going to get what color you're wearing that quickly. So I really do believe it makes an impact.
But when it comes to, you know, these daily decisions, you're saying people make it within 3 seconds. How important is color online and offline? And I think those are nice parallel conversations because you do a lot of speaking. I do a lot of speaking. One of the things I tell people is that when you speak, wear the right colors. And I found this out by accident after 30 years of doing things wrong. It was here at UCI at the Cove, and we were doing a 30-second pitch competition. Part of the challenge of a 30-second pitch competition, it doesn't give much time for the judges to judge people. So we brought in two experts, one from Harvard and another one from some other Ivy League school. One was a marketing specialist, more of like a business person. The other person was an image specialist. Her name is Kay Hunter, and I believe it's kayhunterimage.com. Give her a shout out because she saved my life that I didn't even know almost ended.
What were you wearing, a white shirt?
No.
Or a black shirt in front of the black curtain?
No. Nope.
Oh, okay. What?
Almost. Well, what happened was she was giving these crazy evaluations of people within 30 seconds, and then she would say, "Wrong shoes, wrong color, voice is too high, hair's down, this, that," like just broke apart the image. And it was really helpful for the people who were listening, and the people who were on stage, you could obviously tell they were feeling awkward, and it was a good growth moment for them. So I was emceeing the event, and I was doing my crazy ginger MC thing, and afterwards I went up to her and I said, "So what about me? What do you like in my, what do you think?" And she looked me up and down, and I'll never forget what she said, but I don't remember what she said. I got a card, and I met her the next day and paid her an atrocious amount of money and did a color consultation.
Wow.
I did the upgrade to where I brought my entire closet with me, and she literally told me I had been doing things wrong across the board. Out of 25 shirts that I had, she chose one that was questionable whether or not I should keep. All of them were the wrong colors. She literally sat me down in a chair in front of this mirror. And if you've ever done this, you're going to be like, "Oh my gosh, I did this." If you've heard people do it, you're going to be like, "I heard about somebody do that." And if you ever do it yourself, it'll blow your mind. Like literally crazy. Mm-hmm. in front of a mirror, and she drapes all these different colors, like a bunch of little sheets. And there's the white one on top. So she does the white to be sort of neutral, and then she sets up the color underneath and, like, unveils it like Vanna White and goes, whoosh! And you watch your face, and literally, color either goes into your face or sucks out of your face or it looks like you had a long night drinking, all based on the color that or you're being shown. Because it's isolated, it's really controlled. It's crazy. So she figured out my palette, and now I have a color palette. As you see, I'm wearing some of my bright colors.
We really
today.
Do need to do a shout out that this shirt he's wearing is really cool. And it's white, but it's got a weather pane pattern with a little bit of this orange and a little bit of a deep pink.
All in my palette.
It's gorgeous.
This is how I shop. I literally take my little palette and I fan it out and I make a noise. People look at me funny. I go boop, 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 boop. Boop, 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 boop. And whatever the most noise is, like a water meter or a Geiger counter, that's the shirt I pick. Whether it's board shorts, the socks, to everything. Like, you'll never see me in a full white shirt because that is against my color palette. And I have this whole scheme. So it's helped me become a better shopper because I only buy things on that. And literally on stage and just daily, ever since I met with Kay and I redid my entire wardrobe, which took a while, I get compliments all the time. Wow, you look great today. Literally, I'm like, it's not me. It's my shirt. It's my
right,
color.
It's good color.
It's the color of my shirt. Have you ever had your colors done? And then we get in this conversation. So from a speaking perspective or from meeting somebody or if you're going to interview somebody, you have that first impression. And more so, it happens online, right?
It definitely does. So that you want to have this consistent image going back to what we talked about. So you'll see that virtually all of my photos, I'm wearing red. What surprise, right? If your company's called Red Fire Branding, it doesn't hurt to occasionally, by the way, don a red jacket or a red shirt. And it's also a good energy color. It's a good power color. And it's a good pop of color. So I can use it in that way. But for anyone listening, I really want them to take away not only that they need to have their colors done, but if they pick a color, to pick one and use it consistently.
Back to the consistency of the game.
Exactly.
You're consistently talking about being consistent.
Right, so that you don't have a flyer, a mailer, an invitation, an evite that goes out and this one's green and the next one it's yellow. I mean, think about Tiffany Blue. Okay, let's just think about Tiffany Blue.
Okay, I'm gonna have, because I don't do Tiffany sort of stuff, so Angie, are you ready to play host? I think she is. Did you spit out your gum?
No.
Okay, why don't you get your gum and put it in Liz's card? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. There you go. Get a little, yeah. Don't stick it under the table. Stop it. Okay, there you go. All right, so Angie, you're going to be host for the next 5 minutes because you guys are talking about, Tiffany's, and I don't want to talk about Tiffany's, but it's about the color. So
it is about the color. And what you'll see there is that's the color that's everywhere. So if you go to their website and when you look at their ads, so when you're looking at their ads, they often advertise just the box and not even what's inside. Now you know you've reached the holy grail of
color. The
blue. The robin's egg blue. Of course, yeah. It's just gorgeous. Or you recognize the Burberry plaid, right? You're like, wish I had one of those. There's some extra zeros attached to it, but that's a pretty good trademark plaid. And the point that I'm really trying to make is you want that color to be recognizable, you want it consistent, and you want to make sure when people see the color, they think of you. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't just have to be style. I mean, if you go back, we've had people like Johnny Cash, right? He was the man in black. Tom Wolfe, the author, was the man in the white suit. And there was just an article over the weekend on the Wall Street Journal about why and how he came into that uniform. And you really think about it, that our celebrities today still use color as a branding tool, and it helps cement their image. I mean, think for a moment. So sometimes it's not just color, it's part of that whole body, right? If J-Lo, for example, ever showed up and she had on like a baggy house dress, she'd go, ooh, what happened over here? If it doesn't have enough cleavage, if it doesn't have enough booty showing, then it can't possibly be J-Lo.
And if you think of this, so I just jumped in here, Angie, because I felt like you needed some help. if you think of these social media platforms, right, here's a pop quiz for you. I'll say a social media platform, and okay. Liz, I want you to shout out the color that you associate with it.
Sure. Okay?
Pinterest.
Ooh, I was slow on that one. I'm going to fail. Oh, is it? Oh, God, that's too funny. Oh, how about red?
It's red, right? I just showed her own card, ladies
I
and gentlemen.
I forgot.
Okay, Angie, you can take this over. So I've got you set up for it. So give her some social media sites, and then we'll see what she does. And then you can also throw in some other brands and whatnot.
Facebook.
Blue.
Twitter.
Blue.
Snapchat.
Yellow.
Instagram.
Oh, is that also? Oh,
that's a tough one because they just changed it up recently.
That's right. Now it looks like it sort of looks like the it meshed two logos together, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks exactly
like neon.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think about it? Do you like it?
No.
Yeah. Neither do I.
It looks really weird.
I thought the classic camera was.
It is, but if you think about it, going back to the color, right? Blue is the most universally liked color in the world. So it's really hard to go wrong when you use blue. It's the same reason why we all get these really, really boring business cards and they're, oh, by the way, blue.
Yeah.
So when I tell people who are starting a business, the most important thing to invest in is, of course, the brand name. Please, Lord, please help me here. Number one. And number two is to invest the money in a really good business card. In this day and age, you don't really have to print anything. Sorry about that, any printers listening, but those days are just over. But the one thing you really need is a really good business card. And it helps if it's not just boring blue. And to see if you can add a little bit of personality to it.
Yeah. Okay, one more.
Sure.
YouTube.
Oh, YouTube Red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. That was another round game show in Name That Color.
Yeah.
And it's amazing because if you think of, say, McDonald's.
Red and orange.
Okay, I would have thought gold. But I guess orange.
But it's got both. And in fact, if you take a look at all what I call the fast feeders of America.
Okay.
So the fast feeders would be Wiener Schnitzel, McDonald's, Burger King.
Who goes to Wiener Schnitzel anymore?
Taco Bell. Every single one of them are blue. Every single one of them is red, yellow, and orange. And the reason is those are the colors that make you eat fastest.
Really?
They want you in and they want you out.
What about In-N-Out? Oh, you're right. You set me up for that one.
I did. So, I mean, really, if you do a quick analysis, it is that red, orange, yellow, because they want you in and they want you out. And that's why, contrary to that, if you look at great restaurants, they try to calm it down. They will use the soothing color of blue. They'll put the slow music, right? Fast music makes you eat fast. Slow music makes you eat slow. Yeah. The longer you're at a place, the more you purchase.
Right. Interesting. But fast food, In-N-Out. So I've got a question here, a little live audit from something I'm doing. Are you familiar with TEDx?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, what colors are TEDx?
Red and black.
Yes, very red and black. And the platform, if you have GTM, TED, and or TEDx.
What's my question? I'm not understanding.
Okay, so it was a GTO, Grandma Timeout, but this was an MTO.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got confused.
And my acronym was wrong. But,
that's why.
But
I
appreciate you trying, right?
I'm like, oh, God.
We like to make mistakes so people realize that we're live on air. It's all part of the gig here, okay? Okay. So a MTO, which
my
is
mother.
My mom timeout. What is TEDx? Or what is TED? What is this concept out there? Because some people have heard about it. Some people haven't. If you haven't heard about it, you're
going to
hear about
it. I think it's the greatest tagline, which is ideas worth spreading.
Yeah.
And to me, and it's similar, and you and I really play in this space about speaking, the whole concept of a great TEDx talk or a TED talk is you get one good idea.
Yes, and you're not
just one.
Peppering people with all kinds of crazy stuff. It's just, here's an idea that's worth spreading.
One. Uno. That's it.
Uno.
Not a mas, you know? And I think that's so important because as speakers, I often hear people say, okay, well, we're running out of time. Let me share seven more things.
Yeah, I hate that. Oh, my gosh.
Right? Less is more.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is always the key takeaway. If you're giving a speech for an hour, you basically can make 3 points.
Yes.
That's it.
And everybody who's listening, they know how to count because we talk about that all the time. We count like this. One, two, three, many. In Spanish, uno, dos, tres, mucho. And in French, un, dos, trois, buco. And in Korean, hana, dul, set, a lot.
Are you going to Hebrew next?
Yeah, can you?
Sure. Echad, shtayim, shalosh.
And then,
yeah.
And then how do you say many?
Got me there. Don't know.
Got me there. All right, so TEDx is an amazing platform where you share ideas, and
yep.
It's in speeches that are 18 minutes or less.
Yep.
The TED stage.
Yes,
and
right.
it started as this concept of how these all mesh together and how can we have concise talks that are sort of fast-paced, not in speaking, but like 18 minutes or less, so they're not big. And it's just become a worldwide phenomenon. A lot of these videos that are done just have millions and millions of views. I did a TEDx talk at UNLV. I've been involved with TEDx at here at UC Irvine. It's a great platform. So long story short, TEDx LA is happening December 2nd, 2016, and it's going to be at the Dolby Theater, which is killer, 3,500 seats. And instead of applying for a talk at TEDx LA, I applied for what's called a city experiment. And the concept is that a lot of times these one ideas that are worth sharing, people come in, sometimes with a chip or not on their shoulder, and they say, this is my big idea, take it or leave it, and have it be in your life if you want it to. And then mm-hmm. that's it. The concept of the founders or organizers of the TEDxLA is to have experiments in the city 3 months beforehand so that when you're talking at the event, you're saying, this is what we've actually done over the last 3 months. And then if you want to join us, we're going to continue to do this. So real social impact, something that's longer than just 18 minutes. And that really sparked my interest. And I've always had a dream of doing an artistic project with people's voices and not necessarily your literal voice. But what are you thinking and not saying? What's going on in your world? What is it that bothers you? What are you passionate about? What is anything? A very loosely tied question. My goal is to interview thousands of people and gather all of these voices, whether it's video, audio, text, written, drawn. I have people that have like drawn their vision. And I'm going to mash them all together. I don't know how it's going to end up, but it's going to take some sort of form. And we're going to present it at TEDx, at the TEDx LA event. And I'm in the process of coming up with my logo. Mm-hmm. So I've got my final logo here, and it's funny because I literally just got from my designer sort of the three final schematics based on some colors. So I'm going to show it to you, and I want you to beat it up or get crazy with it or tell me what I should do. And if you do want to check out my site that does not have a logo yet because we're working it out, it's cityofspeakers.com. And if you are listening, I'd love to have your voice as part of this project. I need thousands of them. It can be whatever you want, whatever you're feeling. So it's speaking to people about communicating their voice. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be aggressive. I tried to do red and black, and TEDx said, that's too close to us. So here we are. What do you think about what you're seeing now?
Sure. So I'm looking at three logos, and so I'm seeing a combination of orange and black. But I have to give you a little bit of background in that the orange is more like a Tuscan brownie color, or at least this is how it's coming across on the screen.
It's not ginger?
It could be that, too.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Okay, but it's not the big, vibrant orange.
Okay.
And that's important to recognize because going back to our whole conversation about color, right, red and orange are those big, bright energy colors. And this is a little bit more subdued.
Should it be more orange is what you're saying?
Wait, if you were trying to say, oh, my gosh, this is this high energy, I want to hear and share what people are speaking, then, yeah, it has to be this big, bright orange. Yes, and then it puts you, I mean, if you go back, we used to have, before AT&T purchased them, Singular. Remember, and Singular was this big, bright, orange, crazy logo of the guy who walked around. And we had Ing, and that was also bright orange. And those are sort of the logos that we think about with orange, and all of them are high energy. And those, to me, are great, consistent elements, right?
Okay, so do I need to, and look, if you look at it on my phone, is it any different? Does it pop
huge
any different?
Difference between your phone and the screen, and welcome to the world of color online.
My goodness.
It's very hard to see the difference.
So does this orange on the phone pop a little bit more? Is that more?
Yeah, I think it has that on the phone has this higher energy, which is good.
Okay, so this is crazy because I'm looking at a logo on my screen, I'm looking at a logo on my phone, and they're even different colors. So
yep.
That's another drama. Okay, so assume that the orange is a little bit more vibrant because it is here. You've got the three logos. Step us through this.
Sure, so the way I always look at evaluating logos is, one, I'm always looking at the font.
Okay.
And the most important thing about font is don't let form overwhelm function. So a cool font and you can't read it is a mistake. Words that are vertical, we don't read vertical. If it makes it turn my head, that's not good.
Okay.
Words that we're not familiar with don't work in script because we don't know what they are. So you have very simple words, City of Speakers, so that means you have more flexibility to do a more interesting font. You can
yes.
do more flourish. You
yes.
don't have to be so plain Jane because I've seen my whole life since I was 4 years old the word city. I
right.
can spell that.
Okay.
Second thing to remember is when you're using pops of color, you want them to accent the right thing. Similar to how you were doing your whole wardrobe assessment.
Right.
Right? If you were wearing a tie, your tie would be that pop of color.
Right. My
okay?
My peacock. The little
your
my
little,
peacock feathers.
The little flourish, right?
Yes.
So if I'm looking at a logo and it's black lettering for the word city, and then it's orange for the word of, and then it's black for speakers, it makes me question, why is the of important? So we never really want to pop the unimportant word. We want to pop the important word.
Okay, so we're that one doesn't work. The pop with the pop on the of is no good. So we're down to two.
So if we're looking back at that, you can say, well, can we have a little bit more of an ownable combination? So we're looking here and we've got black and orange. Completely works. We've got to be a little bit.
Is that too Halloween-y?
That's where I'm going.
Shoot, Angie just about said it beforehand too.
You have to be really conscientious when you work with black and yellow or black and orange that you don't look like A, Halloween, or B, a bumblebee.
Right.
Right? You feel like you're on Saturday Night Live on the old one, right? You have to be old enough to appreciate the bee thing, but it went right over Angie's head. I can see that. She's like, Liz, I have no idea what you're saying.
But she's laughing.
She is, and she's like, I'm ready to put the gum back in her mouth, thanks to me. So that's okay. So that's something you really want to think of. And can it be ownable? So if you're looking at a right color combination of an orange and blue, and you're thinking, can I own this? And it's more unique, and therefore replicated over and over again, where it gets to get some mind share, then that's a good thing.
Okay.
So I'm always looking for more of a unique ownable. I'm always looking for ownable words.
Hashtag ownable.
Ownable colors, ownable phrases, and ownable brand vocabulary.
Will you spell ownable for me?
O-W-N-A-B-L-E.
Oh, I thought there'd be a few more O's in there. Okay, thank you.
Ownable. And I think that's really important, because here's your brand, and then your brand eventually has to, of course, go online, needs a domain, and you're going to have, at some point, write some copy, right? What is it that you'll be presenting at the TEDx in LA?
Yeah, it's going to be documenting the process, and I'm going to be taking all of the different content, which are people's voices, and I'm going to smash them together. Whether it's 1,000 audio files in one, whether it's a film that has, you know, people explaining other people's voices, there's a sort of confidentiality to it, where people that want to share their voice, they just sort of mesh in with the rest of them. And that's what's exciting, is I don't know exactly what the final product is going to be, but the concept is to try to document at a moment in time the voice of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
So I've played around with microphones, I've played around with the traditional microphones like we're speaking on now. But I don't want people to be intimidated by this, because I don't want speakers. I mean, I want speakers. I want your voice. I want Angie's voice. But I want somebody in Compton who's having a very tough time with life, all the way to a CEO who's doing great.
Who could
great.
Also be having a tough time. And I want to stop you right there, because we've hit on something that's important, I think, for listeners here, which is when you mentioned that you don't want the microphone.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, sometimes, for example, we were talking right before the show started about lawyers and lawyers who put the scale of justice on.
Right.
Sometimes when you use imagery that is so traditional and so cliche, it actually works against your brand.
Right.
And I think it's really important as a speaker, and that's one of the reasons why I never use a microphone.
Right.
Because the world continues to evolve, right? When I go to speak these days, I pretty much have what's called a lavalier mic, which is a mic that's on my lapel, or the Madonna type of mic, right? That's
right.
Over my ear.
When we're dancing around, singing on stage, yeah.
Exactly.
So no mic.
I would not recommend a
microphone.
Okay,
so no mic. And you know what? The time is getting away from us here. We've got only a couple minutes, if not maybe 30 seconds to a minute left. So for this live audit here, what do you like between? Do you like the city of speakers with the orange and the blue? Is that what you like?
I would recommend orange and blue, and
okay,
really push it out, and so that you can take it, you can be ownable, and then when all that you do can work in that color scheme.
It's like ginger blue. That's
good.
It's like ginger blue.
Good.
All right, so let's close it up with your voice. You are awesomely loud. You are energetic. You've got so much to say, but for this, pretend like for this project, you know, what is your voice, and what do you want to say to the world? What are you thinking but not saying? What is it that you want to leave us with? And then we're going to go on with our days, and we're going to find our voice in whatever we're doing.
I always think that my voice is, I really want the world better and funner. I can't laugh enough in my lifetime, and I think the world is way too serious. So I don't care if they bring me into corporate America and I make CEOs laugh. I think that's the greatest thing. I loved it when someone came in and they said, oh, Liz, we want to hire you for IBM. And they're like, oh, no, you're too funny. And I went, yay! I found my peeps. I found my tribe. And I have to have fun in life, or it's just not worth getting up.
Wow. Well, you've been notified here, the voice of Liz Goodgold, and she is happy. She wants to laugh more. You should laugh more. Don't be so serious. Call your mom. Call your grandma. Make sure you get your colors done. Don't chew gum while you're on the radio. And above all else, figure out what your voice is. And if you want to submit it, there's a website called cityofspeakers.com. If you want to get involved with the project, it's just a super free, fun thing that we're doing. And we just want to make an impact by sharing that everybody has a voice. So don't forget to laugh. This is Ryan. Follow Liz at Liz Goodgold, LizGoodGold, since we learned to spell today as well. And you're listening to DJ Ginger MC here at Get Notified. I am signing out. Say bye, Liz.
Bye, Liz.
Adios. We'll listen to some random music here as we exit and stick around for the next show. Adios.
Hey, this is Angie, and you just listened to Get Notified. To listen to more shows, go to getnotified.kuci.org. And to be a guest on the show, you can submit an application online, too. This is Angie signing out.